So on 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So hi and welcome to episode 61 of Fresh Out of Tokens podcast. This is Tanya, also known as Cypher Tier. To my virtual right or left, because I'm terrible at geography, as we've established over the last 60 episodes, is David, also known as Red Conversation, if you'd like to say hello.
Hi, I am a direction in relation to you. I'm sure of that.
Yes, it's just I'm always facing the same way, and I'm terrible at cardinal directions, even though I grew up in a city with a grid system, so don't let me lead the party is where we're at. And I'm very, very excited because our guest this week is not just a local streamer to me, but someone who's very cool and who's worked really, really fucking hard to get where he is, and I'm glad to have him on the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Brandon Stennis, aka UGR Gaming. I'm sure a lot of people are like, who is that? So I just like, so that's why I said my full name, so they see like, oh, I'm UGR Gaming, so ha.
Hey, some people may know you more through that.
I don't know. Maybe, hey, hope I don't know what's out there on the internet. They might be more than I know, so I don't know.
See what you've been doing is scandalous, bro.
Don't go looking me up now. Okay, now we're gonna start looking me up. Oh man,
I've learned to stop googling myself, which is like,
because you never know what you'll find. It's like, wait, I didn't know I did that. Uh oh.
That's yeah. Not good. Yeah. Or I find people with my name that are doing much better than I am, and it's just fantastic. Let's get our admin stuff out of the way, and then we can jump into questions. Mm-hmm. So, for those of you listening, whether it's your first time or 61st time, this is Fresh Out of Tokens podcast, where we have teas and other items in the I Need Diverse Games Spreadshirt shop, where we split the profits 50-50 with our friend Chachi Bobinks. We have a blog to compliment the show, outoftokenscast.com. And if you have questions, compliments, want to be a guest, have guest feedback or episode feedback, please drop us a line at freshoutoftokens@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at outoftokenscast. Oh, and I almost forgot our musical accompaniment. As always, our musical accompaniment is provided by Mike Moody. You can hear more of her work at soundcloud.com/MikeMoody-1. And now, really, questions for Brandon. So I know you because I'm lucky enough to live in the same city with you.
And that's yeah.
So, yeah, listeners. But tell folks who might not know you a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, I guess I have like a weird, interesting story how like all this came to be. Well, I'm the US community manager for a broadcasting company called XSplit. I'm also a Twitch partner at UGRGaming.com. I was a former journalist on my website, UGR Gaming, which is where the name came from. Basically, about in 2012, I was fresh out of college and I was trying to become a journalist, pretty much. Got a lot of people telling me that I couldn't really like work for them because I didn't have like experience, like professional experience. So I decided to create a blog about gaming and write for it for a few years, and kind of went off a little bit, and I was able to go to a bunch of conventions and kind of get my name out there via the blog and started a podcast with it called Gamer Chat Weekly, which I still do now. And the Twitch thing kind of fell into place out of nowhere. I created the account as when I made the blog, and I never really streamed off of it. And then one of the people who were working with me on the website decided he wanted to kind of stream on there to get more people involved. So one day he just decided that he didn't want to stream for it anymore. He wanted to do his own thing, which I was totally fine with it, but then kind of left the channel with all these viewers, but no one to like stream for it. So I just decided one day to just kind of do it. And then I realized I actually like streaming. And then it kind of turned into this thing that I wanted to take more seriously and get more involved with, and make it more about like myself than about like promoting my website. So I like changed the direction, and then I kind of, you know, got really more serious about trying to make it on Twitch and trying to get my name out there by doing little things. And I've done a few things, and now I'm a partner on Twitch. And the craziest thing about that is with my Twitch experience and all that, I was able to get the job that I have now working for XSplit, because I had been in contact with them for a few years just in general for my website. And then I happened to one day complain on Twitter that I was like, I wasn't really referring to them at the time, which is a funny story. I wasn't referring to them, but I was saying that I was upset that, you know, the Twitch teams that I was on at the time weren't doing anything for the people who are on there. And I got a message from the UK manager, who's my coworker now, which I knew him for a few years. And he thought I was talking about like the XSplit team, which I wasn't. But he was like, hey, is there anything going on that you want to, like, you know, express to XSplit about what we could do better? And I was like, well, I mean, there's, you guys can do a little bit more, like, promoting of the team for the US, because, like, the UK gets a lot of, like, exposure, and the US people really don't. And I ended up finding out that they were like, well, we don't really have a US person right now, so that's why there's not much US stuff going on. And I was like, oh, okay, well, is the position open? And they're like, yeah. And I just basically sent in my resume, and I ended up getting the job and getting partnered the same, like, one day apart. Like, I got the job at XSplit, and then I got partnered on Twitch, and then it was just kind of a crazy month. Like, this happened all in April, so.
I remember, because it was just like, wait, you just talked about a job, and now partnership. What's going on?
It was weird. Like, everybody's like, did you pay somebody to do this? I was like, I wish I did, because I would have done this a lot sooner. But, yeah, that's kind of pretty much what, I guess, my title is now. You know, working for XSplit, and then also the Twitch stuff, and I guess gaming personality. That's kind of what my big goal in life is, always to be like a gaming personality. So Twitch has kind of helped out with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So speaking of Twitch, before we jump to our next question, mm-hmm. I was watching Tactical Pinup today playing The Sims,
mm-hmm.
and apparently there's a streaming career in The Sims 4.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yes, if you reach the top tier in computers, you can then be a streamer.
Oh my god, that is insane. That is insane.
And it is, like, what?
It is so crazy, because, like, when I first started streaming, like, it wasn't such a big thing of, like, because I started streaming in 2014, and, like, there are partners, of course, but it wasn't such a thing, like, oh, this could be, like, your career, you can make money off of it, this and that, blah, blah. Like, Twitch has changed a lot in the past, like, 2 years. Like, I'm coming on 2 years of streaming, actually, this month, in a few weeks. And, you know, starting from, like, pretty much, like, all the way at the bottom, and, like, getting up there, like, I've seen so many changes with the company in general, and, like, you know, people's attitude changing, you know. And I guess it's one thing I kind of dislike about Twitch is that, like, a lot of people come in with the mindset of, like, oh, I'm gonna make money, or oh, I see this person, like, playing games, I'm gonna just do it so I can get money off of it. And it's kind of sad to see that, because, like, money should be the focus of streaming. Like, of course, like, it's great, but it, like, that's why I always tell people who just start, like, do not, like, go into it thinking that you're gonna be making money and that you should be doing it for that reason as well. So yeah, but it's crazy that it's like a career in The Sims now.
I know, it tripped me out so much. I was just like, what? I was like, really? I was just so confused, because I've been playing The Sims since it started, and I'm like, who would have thought the game about simulated people would parallel life so much? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I actually think you sort of answered the second question.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I'm going to ask... you go back in time and tell us how you got into, like, gaming in general.
Oh yeah. Well, I've been playing, like, video games, like, my entire life, like, since I was a kid. I have, and I always can tell this story, and I'm still to this day looking for this VHS tape where I said this, but, like, when I was in eighth grade, we did, like, they're talking about, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I talked about that I wanted to work for Nintendo. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just basically was like, I want to work for Nintendo. And so I that kind of, like, I guess the mindset of my brain was like, okay, like, gaming could be something more than just, like, a hobby. But I didn't really pursue it till after college. But, like, I, you know, throughout college, I was playing games. But it wasn't really until after I got out of college, and I was, like, unemployed for, like, almost a year. And, you know, luckily, I was, like, I had great support, so I was able to kind of figure out what I wanted to do during the time without, like, having to worry financially. But, like, what I did, I played video games all the time with my friends, and that was, like, what helped me not be so depressed, that I was, like, you know, this fresh out of college kid with, like, no job and not going in the direction that I wanted to, that I thought I was when I got out of college. So yeah, gaming was just a big thing that I was really into, and, you know, interacting with, like, friends from all over the world was pretty cool. And then, you know, eventually that's why I went into writing about video games, because it was the one thing that I knew that I liked a lot and that would keep my interest to keep going with it. So that's why, like, you know, after I started the website, I just kept doing it for, like, 3 years, and I recently just stopped kind of writing for it because it's just like I don't have time anymore. And the website was supposed to be like the thing that was supposed to get me to the next level, and anybody else who was working with me as well to help them get there as well, which now everybody who it like has worked with me through this entire time, like we're all doing like our own like jobs, we have our own side projects now, which is kind of something I always wanted. I never thought the website would be around forever. It was just something that I thought would help me further my career, which it has. So that it's kind of bittersweet, but you know, kind of cool.
Yeah, that's so cool because it's like you get to do so many awesome things.
Yeah, I never thought that like I would be able to even make a career out of this at all. Like it's always been a dream, and like my mom was just like, oh yeah, right, like yeah. Even when she would see, like, I would get, like, you know, maybe I'd get a game or something to review or something. Like, she's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, it's just a game. I don't think she didn't take it seriously until once I got my first paycheck from XSplit. And then she's like, okay, I get it now. So then she's like, okay, I'm on board. It makes sense. So
she's like, the money's legit. It's
for real. She's literally, when I got the job, she's like, she's reading all this stuff. And she's like, so you're supposed to be working at home. And they're going to pay you to work. And I was like, yeah. She's like, let me see the first paycheck first. I was like, all right. That works out for me. So,
Oh my God.
So what? I just recently saw her yesterday. And she saw, like, all this stuff. And she was just like, wow, this is just crazy how, like, she used to buy. Like, she was just saying, like, I used to buy your games when you guys were younger. And I never would think that, like, at this point, you know, you would be working in this field that you guys have been invested in all your lives. So it's been pretty cool.
You know, you've done amazing stuff for not even 2 years on Twitch, but the internet, being what it is, and, you know, being black, you're black, Twitch is not always friendly.
Yep. So, it's so true. It is so true.
So, have you had any particular challenges because, you know, like, you're on camera, you're very visible, you know, you're very involved with your chat. And so, you know, the experiences I've had have been not so pleasant at times. Do you have any particular challenges because you're a black man out there on Twitch?
Yeah. I mean, I did not really ever really experience this stuff until once I started streaming. Because, like, when I was writing my blog, like, yeah, my face was there. But, like, they were just words, so people couldn't see a face. But, yeah, there was, when I first started streaming, there was a whole, probably, like, 3 or 4 months that every single day, at least there would be one person that would like make a, oh, you're black comment or something about black this, black that, where I just like, it got to the point where I was just like, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I putting my effort into this if people just are constantly just coming in and just saying stuff? Like, they don't even like watch the stream. They just look at your face and go like, let me troll you or whatever. But sadly, that is the reality of streaming on Twitch. As a person of color, I've dealt with this for, you know, and I still deal with it now. I mean, I've had a tougher skin, but I mean, and I have like one crazy story that I always tell, about this situation because a lot of people who don't experience this don't understand. And it's very easy to be like, well, you can ignore it. You can ignore it. And that's one of the most annoying things I hear from people like, oh, well, just ignore it. They're just trolls. But if you don't personally experience it, you don't understand it. So that's why I know for a fact for myself, like, if someone says, like, I deal with this situation, I'll never be like, okay, well, you just have to ignore it. Just, you don't have to deal with it. But this was, like, a long time ago when I was streaming. And I think I have the screenshot because I took a picture of it when it happened. One day, basically, I was, what happened? I was playing Fallout 3 on, like, PS3 or something. And it was like a slow day, so not a lot of people were like in my chat. And so, and also I think my mods weren't even around when this happened. So I was playing Fallout 3, and then all of a sudden a person like came in out of nowhere. They're chatting normally, and I was like, okay, you know, hi, what's up? You know, like I usually do. And then all of a sudden like this, they say, what was it? Oh yeah, there you go. They were saying, I remember when Fallout 3 was whites only. And I was like, excuse me? Wait, what? I was like, did you really honestly just say that? And then they said another comment, which I'm trying to find the whole thing so I can like read it. But I remember I like was like, this is too much. Okay, is this it? I think this might be it. No. Dang, I don't have it. But I remember like hearing that comment was just like, this is this is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for people coming in and being like, oh, well, this race is supposed to only play this game. And this was like my first like real experience where it's just like, you know what? This is like messed up. And I just turned off my stream. And I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to put myself out here if like people are like doing this to me and they haven't even watched anything. But I remember like I had like posted about it and like people were so disgusted. People were like went in to like, cause like this person was a streamer who even did it. And like everybody went and was going crazy, which I should have done that at the time thinking about it. But I just, that night, I remember I was just like, you know what, I do enjoy what I'm doing and I'm not going to stop because some stupid idiot came in and said whatever. And I came back on and I ended up playing the game Ico. And I was trying to like, I guess at the time I was trying to like make a statement because the whole game is basically like this kid gets like shut out of his village because like he has horns and they throw him in this like this castle by himself because he's not like normal like everybody else. So I was like trying to say like, look, like just because one person doesn't look like you doesn't mean that it gives you the right to treat them differently. So, but I mean, I deal with that all the time now. I mean, well, I usually deal with it more so when like I'm on the front page of Twitch, and which is just known for like random people just coming in, like they see your stream for a second and they like say whatever they want. But like, it's always typical, like, they'll come in with the black guy emoji. They'll just spam it in there. That's when you know it's like it's coming. Like it's sad that like my brain is now trained to know when it's coming. Like if you see the black guy emoji coming in like spammed or something, or just one of them for no reason from someone you don't know, most likely they're just doing it to be like, oh, he's black. Oh, let me say that. But you know it. And I feel like a lot of the reasoning why this happens as well is because that Twitch itself is not a very good representation of the community that is out there. And I made this point last year too with TwitchCon, like just looking at last year's like featured guests on TwitchCon, like most of the people on there were like white males. I think there is one black guy who was in there and that was it. And I haven't looked at the list yet for this year. I haven't taken a look at it, but I would be shocked if it's the same thing. But a lot of this stuff happens because that Twitch doesn't have a good representation of everybody. A lot of the big people they promote are just like these white dudes, and maybe a few females, but like that's pretty much it, you know. And I just wish that they would do a little bit better on that. I've talked about that several times. Like, I feel like with the platform I have now, I'm willing to take like all the hits and stuff if it means that we can try to start having some more people like on the front page or more people like in front of the camera besides like the same type of people on there. Because for a while now, it was like white guys with beards and doing like the dancing stuff and all the gimmicky things. And like when I started streaming, it wasn't about all that stuff. But then when these people start getting popular on Twitch, like people started falling in the same thing. And it was just like, come on, you guys, like the community is full of different people. Like we shouldn't just follow along with the same thing because one person is like successful. Like be unique. That's why this whole platform is great, because there's so many different people and I wish they would represent it more, you know. And like another thing I was just thinking about is that I can't even think of one partnered black female streamer. I think I know one, but I there's definitely not one that they talk about. I don't know one.
That's true, because you brought that up when you were on Spawn on me. Yeah,
I don't know. I still to this day I only know one, but I think she's mixed though, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know any female black partnered streamer, at least Twitch, that will promote actively. I'm sure they're out there. Like now I know a lot of like black female streamers now, but they're not partnered.
Nope.
And
nope.
Yeah.
Andrea's not partnered. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know a lot of black women who stream and not nary one is partnered.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always have a lot to say on that subject matter, but I think they're trying, but they're not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
Which is what I think.
They need a diversity coordinator or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I saw like the other week I had tweeted to my friend and like they sent this, like, it was via the Twitch, Twitter. And it was this article that someone wrote, I think on Newsweek or something, about like, oh, how Twitch is diversifying, like, their community. And then it was like about a white female streamer, I think. And I was like, wait, what? Like, are you sure you want to use the word diversify? Like, I'm confused here. Like, that, like, I could understand a female, but I'm like, that's not diverse, though. I mean, no. You should have got at least a bunch of different people of different races or something. Then I'd be like, okay, that article makes sense. But, like, I don't think they even could think of somebody at the time to even put on there. So that's why it's like, okay, whatever works. I don't know. But it's a doozy.
Yeah, and we can talk about that a lot more. This may be like a two-part podcast,
right? Right. I'm
just done. Just thinking that, yeah, for a lot of companies, diversity means one white woman.
Yeah, one red-headed white woman. They go, look what we did.
I'm surprised there's not like a PR agency out there with that name.
Oh my God. I would not be shocked if that happens after this episode. Oh, we need to get on that. We need to get on that right now. Before someone trademarks it.
Oh my God.
So yeah, you you talked about you know, what can be done to, what, like, you do to change Twitch, and that actually goes pretty well into the next question, which is that you also run Twitch Chicago meetups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did that come about?
Well, my two, like, previous jobs, I worked in a marketing firm. And so, like, I would research different things. I mean, I would watch Twitch all the time. And so I was on the Twitch Reddit one time, and I saw that Swifter had posted about, like, hey, we're having a New York meetup. Like, if you want to attend, like, let us know, this, that, blah, blah. And so I, like, responded to the message, and I was like, hey, I wish there was one in Chicago. Like, that'd be cool. And that's all I said. And then he responded, and he was just like, well, then why you should just do it yourself, you know? Like, not like, oh, just do it yourself, but he was just like, you should just do it yourself. And I was saying to myself, well, why not? Like, I always wanted to, like, throw my own events. I've done it before. Why don't I do it? So we ended up, like, I ended up following him on Twitter, and then, like, he followed me back, and then, you know, he DM'd me and, like, helped me, like, with the first steps of what I need to do, and, like, kind of was, like, the first person who, like, guided me into, like, what I needed to do and how it would work. Then I came up with the concept. There's, like, a lot of backstory that I didn't put in, but I'll go back right now about it. Because before this happened, I was on Twitch Weekly last year, and I was a featured broadcaster because I sent them a video just about my stream and my channel, and I got picked to be on there. And they liked my video a lot, that I ended up, like, having, you know, contacts with them still. And one of the guys who, like, till this day, like, I always say, like, he was the man who changed my life. His name is Soma, Jordan Soma. You know, I reached out to him and I said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this meetup in Chicago. Like, would we be able to, you know, post it on Twitch Weekly? And he's like, yeah, go ahead and do it. So I just basically, like, went on Twitter and pretty much, like, typed in the word Twitch and, like, you know, localized it, like, for people who were in the area around me. And I, you know, reached out to people saying, hey, you know, we're having this Chicago meetup at this location. We would love to have you come along. Here's the website. If you're interested, we could put you on like, you know, the main website if you want to. And luckily, people didn't think I was crazy because, like, at the time, like, meetups weren't too big. I mean, there were a few big ones, but they weren't as many. There weren't as many as there are now. So we did have a really good group of people, which, like, a lot of them I still talk to now. And, like, they come to every single one. But that's basically how it started. It was just kind of like a word of mouth thing. And then after the first one, you know, people heard about it, and then, you know, so on and so on. So we just recently did the third one. I'm waiting to do work on the fourth one, but I'm just waiting on some stuff to be announced first, which I can't talk about. But once that comes out, then I'll be able to start planning out the fourth one pretty much, because it kind of changes some stuff. So yeah.
Ooh, intrigue.
Yeah. But everybody will hear about it eventually, so it's not anything crazy, but I just physically can't talk.
I know, but now I'll be like, so, what was you talking about? What was you talking about? You'll get a text and be like, tell me. But our next question kind of dovetails back to what we were talking about before, the Twitch Chicago question. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, we've established and we know that streaming, and especially when people think of streaming, mm-hmm. they think of it as a very dude bro, white centric, hetero thing to do, which we know mm-hmm. it's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, based on our earlier conversation and, you know, now you're doing TwitchCon and stuff, what do you think needs to change, not just with Twitch and other streaming things, but also the view of streaming?
The view of streaming. I mean, in general, I feel like lately it's not as bad as it was. Like, there was a point like a few months ago where it was just like everybody was kind of, to me, looked all the same. Guys with long beards, guys doing like the weird effects and dancing around, just doing stuff and all that. And I was starting to get like really turned off by it because I'm just like I said earlier, it's just like it didn't feel like anybody was being unique. It was like the next person was doing the same thing as the next person. But lately, it just seems like a lot of those people who were doing that are now like discovering that, like, hey, let me just do my own thing and I'll be good. I don't have to like follow in this person's footsteps. But like in general, of the view of streaming, I mean, that's hard to say because a lot of like the stuff that's going on with streaming, I've been hearing a lot of negative stuff about it because especially with now that like, you know, Twitch or YouTube are now becoming like sources of for media for people to watch. Like people are discovering like, you know, oh, let's watch this event. And then people seeing like the trolls of Twitch chat and realizing like, oh, wow, this is really crazy. You know, so it makes it like negative. And I've seen a lot of people being very negative about Twitch because, you know, they see the chat. They see the chat, especially like when it's events and people are just like spamming stuff and just saying like offensive things. And it's going like 30 miles an hour. They like write negative articles about it. And I've seen a few of these negative articles where, you know, for example, there was like a Hearthstone contest or something. And there was like a black guy who was on there. And then like pretty much like the chat was just like saying all these racial things. And like someone literally wrote an article about like, this is like disgusting. I can't believe like this happens on their website and they allow this to happen. But I mean, on the other hand, you can't control what people say. That's why it's a really hard thing to kind of put down. I just think that a way to kind of get the change to start is showing these people who don't get outside the house that there are more people outside of like one race, one gender. And promoting that, promoting everybody. Well, I don't want to say promoting everybody equally because that's hard to say because some people like, I mean, let's be real. Twitch is like, they make money. They're about the money. So they're going to promote like whoever they want. They're not going to promote little me like on the front page if Lyric's like on the front page like that. So, but I just think if people see other people besides the same kind of person like being promoted by Twitch all the time, then it'll in their heads be like, okay, well, I'm kind of used to this now. It's not going to be like, oh my God, there's a black person or, oh, there's an Asian person. Let me say something crazy, you know? So, but and then you deal with a lot of trolls who are like, I don't know, like 12 or something. So they're stupid anyway. So it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also sort of wanted to bring up that you're also on a podcast and you've told Tanya a few times, it says.
Yeah, true.
What is your podcast about, you know, for everyone else?
Basically, my podcast, it's called Gamer Chat Weekly. The podcast was created about 3 years ago. It was supposed to be like, well, it is a branch off of like my website, which is not really there anymore. But it was supposed to be like the audio version with more personality of our website, which I have two co-hosts, Angie and Cameron. But at first, I wasn't on it at all. I didn't want it to be about me because like it was already like the website that I started. But I didn't want to be a part of it. So we had like, you know, it was first Cameron and Jerome who used to work for the website. And those two used to do the podcast all the time. And I was just like kind of the person behind the scenes. I was like, okay, like, you know, let's make sure we're doing it. And like, you know, I find guests to bring on and stuff like that. But then after a while, like Jerome kind of decided that like it wasn't the route he wanted to go with anymore. And then we brought in Angie. And then at one point, Cameron, you know, got busy with life. And so I was like, okay, well, we can't just leave this podcast. We have all these like listeners. And we can't just be like, all right, well, screw it. We're not doing it anymore. So I ended up deciding, okay, let me just get on this. And like, if people don't like me, I'll just like get off. So it was like for about, I think it was like four or five months that me and Angie just like basically like just did the podcast, just me and her. And then Cameron came back, and now we're just doing it, you know, every week. But it's basically about like, you know, gaming news and, you know, different stories and that we've talked about and kind of like the travels we've done with the website. But since all of us are streamers now, we also kind of implement our own streaming experience and stuff like that, because like now we're getting viewers from Twitch listening to the podcast as well. So we are trying to make a mixture of that, which is, it kind of has had some backlash to it, because a lot of the people who have been listening from like the very first episode have really not enjoyed the streaming aspect of it. But we just like recently did an episode where we just kind of explained like, hey, you guys, like this is kind of, you know, we've grown and, you know, this is a part of our experience. You know, you kind of have to grow with us. You know, we're not going to talk about streaming the entire time, but like it's another addition to, you know, gaming news and other stuff that we're interested in. You know, and this podcast is about our lives, and we just kind of want to take you guys on this journey with us. And if you guys can just understand that, and we could just keep continue, and it seems like it's been pretty cool. But I think at first it was kind of a big shock to some people who hadn't had any idea about Twitch or anything, and especially that we've had like so many changes like with the podcast, like the entire 3 years, that like I guess this was like just like, okay, this is something I'm not interested in, like why are you guys doing this? But you know, it's you live and you learn, and you see how people feel about certain things, but we kind of gotten a hold of that now, so it's been pretty good.
Wow, 3 years. I need to get on your level.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, we started off on Podomatic.com, and one day Spreaker, I can never say their name right because it sounds so weird. Spreaker, it's spelled Spreaker.com. They contacted us because they heard the podcast, and like at the time we're on Podomatic, we were getting really good numbers, and like we're in like the top three of like gaming for a while. And they had contacted us and said, "Hey, like, would you be willing to like switch over to our service? You know, we will offer you all the good stuff for it, and you know, we can, you know, give you some new things that you can't do here." And we're like, "Hey, I mean, it helps us not have to pay for it anymore. Why not?" And luckily, Spreaker is also, they are like a parent company, or like I don't know what the word is, like a sibling company of iHeartRadio. So that's how the podcast is also on iHeartRadio as well. So it's on there and iHeartRadio, which is pretty cool. So yeah, it's been pretty interesting. We've seen a lot of people, like I've experienced people from my stream coming in and saying, "I was listening to iHeartRadio to some music and your podcast came up out of nowhere." It was like, oh, wow. It's been pretty crazy. But yeah, I think we hit 164 today, because I just recorded. My brain's all crazy, so I'm not sure what episode we're on, but we're like in the 60s, I think.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's been a long time, but it's fun, and it's like, you know, doing it with great friends, it's always nice to like every week you come together and be like, "Hey, so what's going on with your life? Let's talk about it," you know? So it's like kind of the session of like, "This is everything I hate about my life, and now let's talk about gaming news." Pretty much.
Wow. Maybe we can aspire to that long on the show.
Hey, it happens. I mean, I've seen some podcasts go for a long time. So yeah, especially like being around for as long as I have, so long, I have, God, 4 years I've been doing this. I've seen a lot of, you know, blogging websites come and go. I've seen a lot of like my old competitors come and go, which like, that's why I never wanted to like give up on the website. Because especially the ones that used to copy me, and I will not name them, they're gone now, but there was this website that I used to be friends with, like the owner, and he like literally copied like the idea that I would, like ideas I would come up with for our website, and like kind of tweak it and then post on his. Oh my God, I just thought about it. I got really mad for a second. But they're not around anymore, so it's okay. But as soon as I found out the website was gone, I was like, trying to steal my ideas. But then, yeah, this is just kind of how it works in this industry, I guess. You just got to deal with people who are like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I mean, that's also another thing. A lot of people don't realize that like there's like a whole backstory behind like the streaming thing, because a lot of people mainly know me for streaming And so they don't realize that I have, like, I've been doing this for like 4 years. So there's like, I hope that people realize there's like more content behind just the Twitch stuff. So, yeah.
You'd be surprised people don't realize all the stuff you do.
I know. But I'm not one who's just like, I have this, I have that, you know. So that's why I'm not mad at Tanya for not knowing, because technically I didn't really like say like, hey, check out my podcast. So like, I don't do that, because I feel like if you feel like it, you could find it, you know, I don't have to force it. So it's all good.
I know. I just my memory's gotten so much worse as I've gotten older. So I was like, shit, what was I about to go do? Like, you ever walk in a room and literally forget what you're about to do?
Oh, yeah. That happens to me all the time.
So, damn, I can't blame that when I'm getting older. But speaking of other content and other things to do, you are going to be on panels at TwitchCon, correct?
Yes. Yes, I'll be, TwitchCon. I was on a panel at TwitchCon last year. When I was a partner, which is, I'm very happy not to be doing it as a partner now. I feel like more vindicated. But last year I did a panel that I wrote called Broadcasting on a Budget. And I did it with Law Renee, W. Shan, and Ravenheart, which I had to, like, they were all partners at the time. And I was like the only like not partnered one. And it was like, it was such a great panel. But then like a lot of people were like very confused, because like I ended up getting like a partner badge like when I was doing it. So everybody thought that when I went to TwitchCon to go do the panel, like they were seeing it on the stream. They're like, oh my God, you just got partnered. And like, we were like freaking out. And like, I couldn't say anything, cause obviously like I didn't see it until after. And I'm like, no, I didn't get partnered, you guys. It was just like, I just had the badge. But yeah, this year I'm going to be on a panel about LGBT streamers, which is something I kind of like, it's more of a personal one for me, because I don't really talk about my sexuality just like in general, not because like I'm ashamed or anything, or I don't want people to know. It's just that I feel like, and I've said this to myself, like from the beginning, before streaming, before like anything with the website, I've always said to myself that I want to be known for my content, and I didn't want to be known for, oh, you're that black guy for this, or you're that gay guy for that. I wanted to be known for, oh, he's really funny, I like him, you know. I wanted to be more than just like, who am I sleeping with? Because I'm not sleeping with anybody on Twitch, so it doesn't matter. So like, to me. But you know, I sat in, and a really great friend of mine, 8-Bit Homo, which is now 8-Bit Dylan, I've been friends with him for a few years now, and I remember I finally got to meet him at PAX a few years ago, and we were like at a Twitch party, and I told him like, hey, you know, I'm gay. And he's like, oh, okay. And I literally asked him, I was like, how do you deal with it? Like, how, like, cause obviously like he's very open about it, which is, that's why I admire him. I love him to death. And he was just like, you know, like you just need to do it and not really worry about what people think. Cause you know, do it for yourself. You don't have to be open about it if you don't want to, just do what makes you feel good about it. And at the time, like, I guess when I first started streaming, I was always kind of worried about how people would perceive me, because like, you know, I ended up like kind of coming out to like a Twitch streaming friend of mine a long time ago. And then after I told him, he like totally stopped talking to me. And I was like, so like traumatized from that situation. And I was just like, I'm just not going to tell anybody. But after that, I was just kind of like, well, I don't really need to tell people, because it's not like I'm like putting myself out there as like, hey, I want you guys to see me in this sexual way. So like, I didn't feel like it was a problem, which is really interesting. I get less of the people asking me like if I'm into girls or guys. I get more of the black thing, which is crazy. I thought I would get it the other way around, but I get it more the black stuff. But you know, I sat in his LGBT panel last year. And my friend Claire was in it as well. And I was sitting in the audience, and I was like, I should just be open and just like talk about it, because there's someone out here who doesn't have the confidence to just be okay with their sexuality and being open about it, or not even being open about it, just being okay with it and not having to feel like you have to, you know, tell people all the time, because you shouldn't have to. Like, I don't see like a lot of these straight, like, streamers go like, hey, I'm straight, so you know, just so you know what I mean. So my hope is that, you know, we have a lot of different kinds of streamers on the panel, and we all are coming from different backgrounds, and everybody does their stream how they do it. I just want to be able to kind of show how I do my stream. And if, you know, people have questions or people need help, like, I want to be able to do that, because, like, I have people in my community who, like, come from all sorts of backgrounds, and I've always had a very open and loving community of people. Like, I have people who are transgender, I have people who are gay, I have people who are straight and married. I have, like, I literally have two of my viewers are dating now. So I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's, I didn't see that coming, but that works. But a lot of people have said, because, like, they feel comfortable, they feel like they're amongst friends, and they don't need to worry about that. And that's why I feel like Twitch is great in a lot of different aspects, because people can come together and not have to worry about being judged. And that's why I've always told, like, broadcasters that, you know, if you are a homophobe, if you are a sexist, or if you're racist, like, this is not meant for you, because you're technically, like, influencing other people's thoughts and people's ideas of stuff. And if you're a person who's just like, well, I hate black people, your viewers who are loyal and who like you, they will start feeling the same way. You know, I've had a friend who I'm friends with now, and obviously I'm not going to name his name, and I have talked to him about it recently because it did bother me a lot. But, like, he was using, like a term pretty much about, like, you know, black men who are secretly doing stuff with other men. And he would use it, and he still uses it, but I informed him that, you know, you shouldn't be using it. But, you know, his viewers go around saying it, like, around places and, like, in different, like, streams. And I've had them come into my stream and say it, like, just in to me. And I've been like, okay, that's not happening here. I'm sorry. Like, if you guys are going to be, like, you know, like, that's cool, whatever he does and chooses how he does his stream, that's fine. But do not come in my stream doing that, because, like, that's one of the craziest things about it, is because, one, you don't really know who's watching your channel. You don't know how old they are. And you could really be influencing them, that if they go out and say some of these crazy things that people say out in public, like, they can get hurt because they think it's okay because everybody in the chat's saying it too. So they're like, all right, well, that's now part of my vocabulary. Let me go start saying this out there. And then it, like, it's just, that's why I keep, that's why I told him at a point where I was just like, okay, like, I'm letting you know that I don't think you're saying it in the way that you're saying it, but you need to, like, you need to look at what the meaning of this word that you're saying is. And he, you know, he looked at it and he's like, oh, well, I don't mean it like that. And I was like, all right, I understand that. But from my, like, from my understanding, I feel uncomfortable sitting in this chat and, like, you're saying it and your viewers are saying it, like, amongst each other. And I don't appreciate that. Me being a black man myself, I don't like that. And, but, he does his stream how he does it, and I still love him to death. But, you know, some people just need to realize that, like, they can't just, like, I know that you can have your opinion about stuff, but you got to be aware of what you say, because you don't know who's watching you. Like, you could be influencing, and, like, of course, there's gonna be, like, 12-year-olds who are gonna watch Twitch, like, they can lie about their age, whatever, who could be watching that and going to school saying that and get their ass beat because some bigger kid punches their lights out because they're going around saying the stuff that they heard a streamer say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. There's a couple of folks that we both know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't care if they figure out if I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had to kind of have that moment of, you all need to stop saying this, or that's offensive, or, you know, my pet peeve, and we'll get into it later, is assuming your viewers are all male.
Yes, that's true. But I do feel bad because it's not something I say. For some reason, I always just, like, if someone new follows and I'm like, oh, thanks, man, I say that. I don't know why I do that. But then I've had, like, you know, females, like, tell me, oh, I'm female. I was like, oh, okay. But I can't tell with the names. Like, some of the names are, like, very, like, you don't know or not. I've had someone that had, it said Mr. And then she's like, oh, I'm a girl. And I was like, well, how is I supposed to know that?
Next time, just be like, I meant, like, mankind, you know?
Oh, yeah, true. I should try to do that. I should definitely try to do that next time. but no, I totally know what you mean, though. Like, I don't know. I don't know. With some casters, it's just, like, I don't know how they are popular. Not because how they're popular. It's just that they're not very, I guess, have etiquette or class, if that makes sense. You know, like, they just, like, are just very rude. And I don't know how people just are okay with it, and who follow them are just, like, there's, like, this really sad, like, mentality sometimes on Twitch where it's just, like, you know, the popular streamers, they're, like, they can, you know, tweet out anything, say anything, and people will just, like, oh, my God, I love it. Like, every single tweet. The person can be, like, I literally hate all of you. Stop liking my tweets. And people are, like, oh, my God, I love it. I love it. It's, like, the Beyonce thing, I feel like. You know, like, Beyonce can do anything, and, like, people will love it. She can throw her baby out, and people are, like, oh, my God, I love that baby being thrown. So it's just, like, it's a whole, like, Twitch has that same thing. And, you know, a lot of the people, especially, like, broadcasters who are just starting off, they have the mentality of, like, notice me senpai-ness. And, you know, they feel like they need to kind of suck up to these bigger streamers to notice them. And I've always been, like, the kind of person who doesn't go with that. I don't really care about any of these people like that to be, like, oh, my God, I need to suck up to you for you to notice me. And I've never done that, which is, I've made it this far without having to be like, oh, like, let me go into this person's stream and just, like, you know, sub to them all the time. And hopefully one day they'll raid me, you know. But I guess a lot of that has come from, like, you know, when I was younger, I worked in the nightclub industry. So I was used to people being certain different kind of personalities, and people being fake and people feeling like they're better than people. I was one of those people at one point. But, like, I've sat in a room, like, with Lyric, Soda Poppin', like, Tim the Tap Man, like, all levels of streamers. And I have never been like, oh, my God, you know, let me, I have to, like, meet you because, like, you might change my career. You know, I've never been like that. But I will say, like, when I've met Lyric twice, and I was a little bit nervous because I didn't want to say the wrong thing. He's been the only person I was, like, nervous about. But compared to, like, everybody else, like I don't really care about their stature or who they are on Twitch. It's just, like, if you're cool, I'm cool with you. But if you're, like, on some, oh, well, you know, I have this many subs and I have this many followers and this many sub, like, sponsors, like, you should be, like, sucking up to me. I don't really care for that. And I feel like people should get, like, should not go for that either. And just, like, have your own mind. Like, if you like a person for liking them, I can get that. But if it's, like, you are doing it to just try to get yourself ahead, then, like, you're probably doing it wrong. Because, like, after you get there, what are you going to do? Try to keep sucking up until you try to get to the next spot? I don't know.
Yeah. People. Anyway.
Yeah, I could go on and on about that, too. I was about to go into another server. Let's not get into
that. Look, we can talk again on Sunday, and you can yeah, have your moment. Look, 'cause I'm afraid to see what happens if, like, me, you, and Andrea get on one show.
Oh, man. I can only imagine.
Yeah. Well, speaking of complex social engineering schemes, a lot of people seem to get into streaming with the goal of becoming a Twitch partner, but mm-hmm. most people don't become Twitch partners for simple market reasons, I assume. Mm-hmm. Do you think there is a reason to get into streaming rather than for the fun of it?
Well, no, I can kind of go back into it. Well, I mean, I definitely think if you're gonna, if you start streaming, you should definitely do it for the fun at first, because if you're doing it for the money, it's not, like, that's not a good mindset to have. Like, I made a video about a few weeks ago about, like, you know, different levels of, like, Twitch, like, streamers and how they should approach it. Like, if you just start streaming to, like, if you've been streaming for a while and after partnership happens. I think that just for Twitch partnership, it's hard. I mean, it is hard, but, like, it's also weird as well because, like, Twitch partnership is not, it's not all equal because, like, you know, they'll say that, you know, you have to have a certain amount of viewers to have it. And, you know, there's people who have not that many views who have it now, who've gotten it. But it's because of certain different categories and, you know, people work hard, but, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I have been a little bit salty because, like, you know, I had done a lot of stuff. Like, I just got partnered almost after 2 years. Like, I had done, like, the meetups and I had been on there, like, the Twitch weekly 4 times and all this stuff. And, you know, I did the panel and, like, they denied me every single time, but, like, you know, but I was okay with it because I knew I was working hard and it was going to be worth it once I did get it. But then it's just kind of, it is a little annoying where it's just like, okay, well, I've been doing this for this long and like I was told that I needed this many people, this kind of stuff. And it's just kind of like some people aren't having to go through that same amount of work and have it already in a less amount of time. But I mean, that is more Twitch's fault than the person themselves, because they, I mean, we're all trying to get that partnership dream. It's just that if Twitch is going to do something, they need to be like very strict about it, because they like they do get little flippy floppy with like their rules and how certain things work, which I learned about that the hard way when it came to emote stuff. But I don't know if we were going to talk about that.
I saw that video, sir.
Oh, should we talk about that too?
I mean, I was like, oh my God, he's angry.
Oh yeah, I was really mad. I mean, well, let me finish my thought on this. But I think if you're going for Twitch partnership, you have to see yourself as a, what kind of streamer are you? You know, are you a creative streamer? Are you a music streamer? Are you, now if you want to do social eating and get partnered, if that happens, hey, more power to you. Or if you're like a gaming streamer, and you just had to figure out if you, because they really do look at like your community and if people are coming back. Because if people aren't coming back, they're, you know, the partnership button, like they're making money off of you when people sub anyway. So they're going to want to put on someone who's at least going to get like a sub or two or something. So you just kind of have to decide when you're ready to do it. If it's worth the stress and the possible rejection, because I got rejected over 10 times over like a 2-year span. But a lot of people kind of get the concept of like, well, they get the concept of like, oh, let me apply like every like week, which that doesn't work. That does not work, because they will see you and be like, okay, could you stop like sending us stuff? Like, we don't want that. But it kind of just depends on what kind of person you are or not. But like I was saying, like Twitch, this will go into the thing I was talking about earlier. Twitch needs to be very specific and be strict on what they want on partnership, because they switch it around a lot. And that's why a lot of people get confused and a lot of people get salty and a lot of people get angry when they're not partnered. And I think, Tanya, you were saying this earlier too, which will go into something else that you're talking about earlier, about pitting people against each other because they're not very strict on their policies on certain things. Because then one person will be like, well, that person has 10 viewers. Why does that person have partner? But I got like, you know, 600 people in here and I'm not partnered. What is this? So it puts people in this whole like competition kind of thing, which I don't like and I don't really appreciate, but I don't really get myself involved with that. I just like, I'm doing my own thing. Whatever works for you, just go and do it. But like I was saying about their policies is that, you know, I dealt with like a situation when I, like a lot of situations after I got partnered, and I wasn't happy with the process when I got partnered. Like I was happy, but I wasn't happy with them because of how they do it. You know, they kind of basically, they partner you, you sign your contract, and they kind of push you out there and don't give you like any sort of information on what to do or how anything works, which is like, this is not school. Like if you guys like are telling me that I'm like gonna, I need to do my taxes and stuff, I would like to have like a manual on like how the dashboard works or something, please. You know, if I'm gonna have to like have stuff come out, like I would like to have some sort of documentation. And they don't really do that. The information's on the internet, but you have to search for it. And then you have to like, I had to find a lot of my information out from other partners who like have told me the same exact thing. That like, not a lot of people know about what's going on. So like, we can help you if you need it. And I'm just like, well, why don't they just help people? You know, like technically we're employees of Twitch. So we should at least be able to be like, hey, can you help me with this? Like when I first start, but of course they have like a email we could contact, but there's no like beginning thing to get you started. But back to what I was saying about the whole like being strict about their rules and stuff, like a few months ago, I had created like, I had reached like 250 subs, and so I had like 10 emotes altogether. And so one night I got this emote of a butt emote of like Jill Valentine. Like, you know, butt emotes are funny on Twitch, whatever. So I was like, oh, I want one. Let me make one of like one of my favorite characters like of video game history. So I made it and it was uploaded. And the same night it was uploaded, people were using it, it was just gone, like out of nowhere. Like, people were trying to use it, it wasn't there. And I was like, wait, what's going on here? And so I ended up freaking out. And I'm like, did they, like, delete my email? I started, like, emailing people. I was just like, did you guys, like, really delete my email, like, midstream, like, with no explanation? Which later on I found out they did send me an email, but it was, like, to, like, I've been having problems with them with, like, my email situation. But they sent me an email basically explaining that at the time that the butt emote was not in code. But it was also approved, though. You know what I mean? So usually what they would do, if you send it in, they'll reject it and say you can't use it. But it was, you know, it was live. So it was used. So basically, I was really drunk. I got really drunk because I was so mad. Because it was like the one emote that I was really excited about that I really wanted people, like, if people didn't know who I was, if they saw it, they're like, oh, I'd sub for that. That's what I wanted. And that was the one emote I had. And they, like, were like, oh, no, it's gone. So I got drunk and I was like, I made this video where I just basically, like, for 20 minutes kind of just talked about how mad I was that Twitch was not, like, fair about their policies, and that, you know, there were a lot of people who had, like, you know, similar emotes that theirs were fine and they weren't very specific on what was out there. And so it kind of, like, blew up a little bit on social media, and, like, a lot of people got involved, were like, yeah, I've had, like, emotes where they just gotten rid of it and they don't explain anything. And I actually got, like, a few people from, like, Twitch, like, following me, like, after, like, and I was like, oh, God, they're, like, following me now. But, like, I was like, you know what, then whatever, I'm just going to try to do another emote. But I was really upset because, like, these emotes cost a lot of money. And it's not cheap to make this stuff, like, for, especially, like, when you're doing partnership stuff, it's, like, really expensive. So, but I was just mad about the emote getting deleted. And I didn't feel like it was fair because, like, you know, a lot of people have them. And, like, some were, like, worse than mine. Like, mine was had clothes on, but there are, like, ones that were out there that, like, it was, like, a dude in just boxers and, like, no shirt on. And I was like, okay, that's not fair, but he's still good because of, like, maybe his stature, whatever. So that happened. And so, like, 2 weeks later, I saw this coming and I had tweeted about it. And I was like, you guys, something's going to happen where, like, they're going to get rid of everybody's emotes and then then people will start really listening after that. So one day, like 2 weeks after the video was posted, like one Monday, like Twitch just got rid of like everybody's butt emote. Anything that was like under, like not in code, they got rid of all of them without like really telling people beforehand. So all of a sudden, like all these people are like freaking out. Like they got rid of like, you know, a lot of the top streamers' butt emotes as well. So then like people were paying attention then. And so I was like sitting back and I was having my little tea and I was like, uh-huh. So when 2 weeks ago when this happened to me, nobody really cared. Well, people cared, but like, you know, a lot of the big ones, they didn't care until after their stuff was gone because, you know, I was a little guy at the time. But then they were freaking out and like, you know what? Oh, if the butts are gone, then everybody was trying to chase after the Craigasm emotes because like they're like, well, if we can't have the butt one, then why do we have the Craigasm one? And it turned this whole big mess. And then Twitch, like, backtracked itself. Because there's no way that I don't think they had this planned out. But all of a sudden, like, a few days after that, they posted this, like, on Reddit somewhere. Of course, it wasn't out in the public because I don't know why they don't do that. But I guess just so they don't make a big deal about it. They, you know, put this statement out there that, like, okay, if you have a butt emote, as long as it's clothed and stuff, you can use it. Which, I know there's no way that was in plan because they didn't say that at first. It was just like gone. And after they had the like crazy reactions they did, I think they just were like, okay, we need to just like come up with a better policy. And then if they want to have them, they can have them, but they just have to follow these rules. So 2 days later, I was like, all right, well, my booty emote was closed. So I'm going to resubmit it. So I did it. Now it's officially back up there. But that was a long story about like Twitch and their policies not sticking towards it. Cause they do have a problem with that. Like there's like so many examples. Like when they did the social eating stream, they didn't have any rules for it. So then people were like going on there and like donating to people to eat random things, and some guy like vomited on stream, and then like afterwards they're like, oh, here are the rules, you guys can't do this now. Well, it's like we should have done that before.
That's gross.
So yeah, it's yeah, it was nasty.
I mean, I don't know if you saw my post about it on Facebook, but I was like, this is so not my jam. This is weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's they're trying to reach a market of like different people, which I understand, but if you're going to have a new like category, you at least need to have like the rules out there first before people start like breaking them, because of course there's always those stupid people who are just going to try to take it as far as they can before like something bad happens, and then they're like, oh, "Okay, here you go." And I don't want someone to like get seriously hurt or someone die on stream because like they do something stupid because they didn't have the rules there saying you can't do this.
Yeah.
So, sadly, that may happen one day, and then it's like, okay, maybe we should like have this stuff ready to go before we announce it.
You would hope.
Yeah.
but since we're talking about how people act on stream, mm-hmm. You know, I've noticed since I've been on Twitch for a while, mm-hmm. people sometimes get a little full of themselves and act mm-hmm. different once they get partnered.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, not just the ways you've seen people change upon partnership, mm-hmm. but also how people change how they treat you, because I'm sure that, you know, with the way Twitch divides things into partners are elevated, etc., versus mm-hmm. the rest of the quote-unquote community, even though we're all putting in the same work to broadcast.
Yeah.
How has that changed for you, both as, like, someone who's now on the partner side, and also just kind of, like, things you've observed and how people change after partnership?
Yeah. I definitely, like, when I first got partnered, I definitely saw a difference with people. Well, I would say viewers first. Not all viewers, but, like, people who have been watching my streams from, like, the very beginning. Like, after I got partnered, they stopped watching. They unfollowed me. And I was just like, why would you, like, I don't understand, like, you're sitting here telling me that, like, you want to see me be successful, that you're enjoying my streams, and, like, now I'm partnered and you, like, are gone now? But a lot of people, and it's weird, there's, like, this weird thing that, like, if you're partnered, you've changed, or that, like, you're going to become this thing where you can't talk to people anymore. And a lot of that comes from, like, when people see, like, the 200 viewer mark, that they feel like every caster is going to be like that, where they're, like, only, like, reading certain things and not really caring about what's going on. But I've seen that. People treating me differently viewer-wise. But not everybody, like I said, because, of course, I have, like, viewers who stay, which I appreciate them. Partner-wise, I feel like I did get more attention from other partners once I got partnered that I didn't even know who knew me. Like, when I got partnered, I went to PAX East, and I ended up going to the Twitch party there, and it was, like, my first, like, PAX, like, as a partner, and it was, like, so quick, so I was just, like, freaking out. And, like, there were, like, people I didn't even know knew me, like, be like, congratulations, man, I know you worked so hard for this, and I was just like, how do you know me? I never even seen you in my chat. But then you always got to remember, like, just because someone doesn't talk doesn't mean, like, they're not there. So that's why I don't talk about anybody, like, on stream, because, like, you never know who's lurking in your chat. But, like, I definitely saw a lot of people, like, you know, positively, like, that whole weekend, I don't know how many different people I didn't even know knew me were, like, coming up to me saying congratulations. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know how you knew me. But, like, I appreciate it. But there are some people, it depends on the person, though. Because like I said before, like, I've dealt with this kind of, like, situation and lifestyle, like, you know, working in the nightclub industry before. So I've been used to this kind of stuff. You know, I've been used to people, like, talking to you only because of certain ways. Like, I had a friend who I used to be friends with, who completely stopped talking to me. We just didn't get along, whatever. We stopped talking. And then all of a sudden when I got partnered, he, like, started coming around again and was like, hey, you want to be friends? Like, let's hang out. Like, I miss you, this and that, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I wonder why. Because you weren't saying this 2 weeks ago. Like, why all of a sudden, like, after someone who, you know, tweeted about it, you want to stop into my stream? Like, oh, yeah, you want to hang out now? And I later learned that he was only talking to me because of that. But that's besides the point. But, you know, people, it depends on the person, because there are people who have never dealt with, like, being in a, like, in a different kind of level of person, I guess, if that makes sense. So they get kind of bougie, as I say, and, like, think that they're better than people, which I've always told everybody on, like, Twitter and stuff, like, everybody on Twitch who's a big streamer who's not, like, has always started with, like, a zero count. a zero viewer count. There's not anybody who just started off and like just had everybody there at once. So I don't know why some of these Twitch broadcasters get such like a high, like they're the best and you can't talk to me unless you know these people. And a lot of them are like that. But a lot of the people who you would think are like that are not at all like that. You know, and I've met a lot of those people and they've all been pretty cool with me. But yeah, there are people out there who are just like nasty. Like I have this one person and I've always said if she unfollowed me on Twitter that I would call her out on it. But like she's a pretty big streamer, but like, you know, I had met her and she, you know, she does YouTube and Twitch and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, we met, she was cool. We talked all the time. You know, I go in her stream all the time and all that. And, you know, I've seen her at like several different events. And every time I see her now, she just like has the most stank attitude towards me. Like as if like she doesn't know who I am or she's just like, oh, hi. And like kind of like gives me a look and I'm just like, what is your deal? Like, excuse me? Like, I've never said anything to her face because I'm just like, I don't want to deal with it. But it's just like people like that, I cannot stand because it's just like just because like you got lucky enough to like make a really, really big career out of gaming, like you're not better than the next person because of that. You know, you need to be humble about that because one day it can all be gone and then you'll be sitting in a room by yourself talking about the old days. You know, it can all be gone like that. So you can never take things for granted. And that's why I've always like humbled myself on, you know, all my situations, you know what I mean? Like I didn't start off like working in the gaming career. I used to work at Walgreens for the longest time. I worked for Walgreens for like 3 years just to make ends meet. And while I was streaming. So I know what it's like. You know, I've been unemployed and the only thing I could do was stream for 4 months. And that was like, that was one of the hardest times of my life because I was at one point where I thought I was gonna like, you know, be kicked out of my apartment because I couldn't find a job. So I've always just humbled myself to just be like, hey, you know, just because you're a partner doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. And that's why I always support like people who have supported me and like, you know, smaller streamers as well, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like trying to make it out there. And it's not an easy road. It's not at all. I was going to get on something else. You brought the second part of the question. Oh, Twitch, the separation you're saying about.
Well, you know, do people, like, have you noticed anyone, or just in general, do people seem to change after they become a partner?
Like I said, it depends on the person. But then also, like, Twitch unfortunately puts that in people's heads. Like if you go to a convention and you go to a Twitch party, like it is separated like by Twitch partners and Twitch like and anybody, just everybody else in different sections. So you're segregated. And I you know, my first Twitch party, I was like, I wasn't partnered and I was like, you know, on the downstairs where I was just like watching everybody else like going upstairs who were partnered and doing their own thing and have their own separate party. And I remember sitting there like, wow, this is like, I've never felt so like crappy about myself. Like I've worked so hard, but it just feels like I'm not worth it because I'm like sitting downstairs where like everybody else is here and like, you know, the partners are having their own thing upstairs. But then it also helped me motivate me to be like, you know what? Well, then I'm going to be there one day and I'm just going to work hard for it. And after I finally was able to like, you know, go to these Twitch parties, like I then knew the difference, like the, you know, the difference between like partnered or not. And I could feel why it does suck. It does suck. Because like I had friends who were partnered who were there and I feel and I have said this and I hope they don't do this again, but like the PAX East party for Twitch was like very bad, like for people who weren't partnered, because like it was the same one, like they had it last year, but it was like it was a three floor bowling alley. So the top floor was for partners and the second floor was for like, you know, industry people and stuff. And then the last floor was for like everybody else, like who weren't partnered. And it was like a dance floor and like a bar. And like the year before, you were able to like go in between the first floor and second floor, like you could bowl, drink or whatever. But then this year you were like, if you weren't partnered, you were forced on that first floor. And you couldn't like, if you didn't like the nightclubby kind of thing or weren't into that kind of stuff, like it would suck because you couldn't do anything that you wanted to do. You couldn't talk to anybody because like everybody was like segregated. But unfortunately, I think that like the Twitch parties are always going to be like that. They're going to be separated like that. But I just wish that it wasn't like such a big difference between the people who are partnered and not, where it's just like you're stuck in a basement as an unpartnered person where you just feel like crap. And then it's like, oh, if you're your partner, you're all the way upstairs and like there's this big, you know, party going on. So hopefully in the future, their parties will not be as like so different like that. Cause I when I went downstairs, I was just like, you guys, I'm really sorry because like this really sucks. I don't know why they would do it like this, but yeah.
Yeah, you're better than me. I didn't even know there was a Twitch party at
PAX. Oh, they don't talk about it either. That's the other thing. It's a word of mouth. It's every event, it's word of mouth.
Great. That's how it is. Thanks, Twitch. Yeah. Thanks.
So, like, if you ever go to a convention, you probably just had, like, you could, if I'm going to a convention, you just ask me. But, yeah, it's always word of mouth because I guess they don't want, like, a bunch of people just showing up. But it always ends up getting out because it's such a secret that people are just like, well, just come here. So, yeah.
So you got me for PAX West, right?
There you go. Yeah, I'll be there. PAX West. I think I get a plus one. I think. Hopefully.
Yay.
Yeah. They've been really weird about that too, but should be good.
Yeah. But speaking of Twitch, David has a really good question for the next one before we get into your questions in an article.
Yes.
Yeah. We also wanted to ask, do you think Twitch needs better codes of conduct as well as, you know, better method of enforcing their terms of service?
I feel like their code of conduct now is pretty, I think it's pretty good what they have right now. I honestly feel that, like I said before, they don't enforce it to everyone because like, and like a lot of the times when people like get banned on Twitch for like random reasons, like they don't always get an answer of why they're banned. They just will go to their channel and it's gone. I wish they would at least like, if it's automated, just being like, hey, this is what you did wrong. You know, this is the amount of time you're banned for. You know, when you come back, just know not to do it again. So people know. But, yeah, they're, it's not like that for everybody because, like, one person will do something and then they won't get banned. And so then someone else will try to do it and then they'll get banned. And then it turns into that whole pointing fingers at each other thing, which is, that's why I keep saying that I wish that Twitch would be more, like, being strict about who they do it to. Or if they're going to do it to everybody, do it to everybody and not just, like, pick and choose, like, which is good and which is bad. Because it just pits everybody against each other and everybody starts pointing the finger, like, oh, why does this person get to do it but I get in trouble for it? Or, and just all kinds of stuff because, like, you probably have seen, like, there's a lot of different, like, there's a lot of streams out there that are just, like, full of, like, you should be banned on Twitch. You should definitely be banned on Twitch. And they're not. You know what I mean? There's a lot of just a lot of craziness. So, but I think what they have for now is good, but they need to enforce it to everyone, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some streamers I've seen where I'm just like, ooh, you are still on the air. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sadly, trust me, I've seen that myself as well.
Yeah, but that's a conversation for drinks when we're at PAX West.
Yeah, true.
Not for very this true, episode. Very true. before we kind of start wrapping up with our questions, before we get into listener questions, I'm so used to Twitch, I said viewer. but, you knew this question was going to come at some point tonight. What tips do you have? I mean, you've got that great video out, but if you could give a couple quick tips to someone who wants to get into streaming, but maybe has no clue where to start.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always say that YouTube is a great place to start off because you can visually see, like, what you need. There's a lot of great Twitch tip videos out there. I mean, I made a good one, I think. But a great way to start is looking at your own equipment that you have already, because you might have like the equipment to get you started. Not saying like you need to use it your entire streaming career, but you know, just look at what you got, because like I keep telling people, and that's why I wrote the panel last year for TwitchCon about it. I didn't want people to go out and buying like thousands of dollars worth of equipment because they see like so-and-so's stream and they use that. Because like you can buy it all and then like sit there and try to stream and hate it. You know, not everybody's going to want to do it. Not everybody's going to want to be on a camera. So you shouldn't go out and buy like a webcam like off the bat and you're not a person who wants to be on camera. So that's why I always tell people like start off small And, you know, if you do end up liking it, then, you know, gradually upgrade your stuff and then you can do what you need to do. Because, like, when I first started, I had I started off with a laptop and a capture card. And that's all I had. And I didn't have a camera at the time. I had no camera for, like, maybe I think 2 months I didn't have a camera. And then I gradually, you know, upgraded my stuff and got a PC and, you know, like, I recently just now got, like, a, like, 3 monitor setup, which I've never had before, so it's, like, all new to me. So, and this is after 2 years of streaming, so I wouldn't go rushing into buying things because you won't know if you like it or not. So, just see what you got in your house first, and it might be enough to get you going. And also have good internet, because if you don't have good internet, then it's not going to work at all, because that's the main factor is internet. So, yeah.
That is true about the internet thing, and it's sad that there's a lot of places where good internet just, like, isn't an option.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, because I went to the Philippines, like, a few weeks ago, and, like, they're all, like, in their country is just, like, different. It's, like, very spotty, where I was just, like, I really honestly appreciate the internet I have here, because, like, if I had to live like that, oh my God, in the internet, I had to watch Twitch on, like, the lowest setting, and I couldn't even see the caster's face. That's how bad it was. And I was just like, oh my God, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You don't realize what you got until it's gone.
Yeah. So, heading towards closing, the end, we wanted to hear, what's coming up next for you? What do you got in the works? Anything interesting?
Well, I have the Panda Twitch Con, so I'm assuming that we're going to start working on that pretty soon. I have some XSplit stuff that I'll be doing, coming up with some events that we're going to be doing hopefully soon. I will be at PAX West and also TwitchCon. I'm also trying to see if I can get out to New York Comic Con, because I didn't realize the San Diego one had gaming involved, and so I'm like, well, I think we should try to get there. But yeah, basically just, you know, streaming and trying to get my channel out there and doing more stuff for XSplit and getting the company more involved in different aspects that they didn't have before, especially in the US, so I could bring, like, my expertise to that. And I guess just, like, getting my social life back together, because I'm stuck in my house, like, all the time, so it's, like, nice to, like, get out and do stuff. So I'm trying to, like, be more active and, like, seeing my friends again and having a drink and chilling, you know. So yeah, just trying to be regular old me, I guess, living the sick life.
Yeah, because when you're at home all the time, even just going out for a walk is like, oh my God, I left the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to just, like, get some fresh air, because being surrounded by this stuff all the time, like, I just need to get out sometimes.
Yeah. So, we have a couple articles to briefly touch on in the interest of time, unless we really do make this a two-part episode. Who knows? And then we actually got some really good questions from our listeners. So let's briefly talk about the fuckery that is Deus Ex Mankind Divided and their marketing.
Yes.
So, yeah, odds lives matter. So for those people that are not familiar, Deus Ex is a series of games, and a lot of it talks about augmentation and human rights and Nazi human rights and things like that. And they fucked up last game, I'm just going to say it, with Letitia the Trash Lady, who sounds like she came out of a 40s Step and Fetch It skit. And now, today, or the last couple days, their marketing comes out with Odds Lives Matter, a.k.a. the rich-ass people in the game who can afford to get augmentation.
It kind of falls into the same, like X-Men territory when it comes to the metaphor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so our friend, Monver Air, you know, said some things on Twitter. And he was not alone in that. There were some articles, and Polygon actually had a piece. Polygon had a piece today about it, and the terrible gaffe of basically appropriating Black Lives Matter for this marketing thing, and the just utter obliviousness of not getting why people are angry. So I've said plenty on Twitter. So I will leave it to our illustrious guest, Brandon, if you have any thoughts on that.
I mean, I didn't know about this until you told me. So, and Deus Ex is one of my favorite games. I wasn't even aware of this character in the first one. I don't know how I didn't notice that. But I didn't see this until now. But I think after seeing, you know, like I'm seeing it now, and I don't understand why they thought this was a good idea. And like seeing the tweets from, like, I guess this is the PR person for them, and I see that he deleted some stuff as well, as your friend, like, you know, screenshot some stuff, which they usually do anyway, try to get away and like try to delete. Oh, I didn't say that. I don't know why they would go ahead and do that. I don't know what, like, I guess they were trying to make it more like current, but like it's still not, like, I don't know why you would use that in any sort of like statement to be like, okay, like this would work and it would make sense, you know. I don't know, like maybe if they came up like a different term, not even like the, like, not, don't even use the phrase lives matter, like they could have done something else, like I don't know, they could have came up with a different like slogan or something, and it would have made sense. But I don't know who was like, okay, let's green light it. But I mean, this is either the work of somebody who obviously does not know what is going on, or just stupidity. But we've known a lot of companies to kind of just put stuff out there and kind of backtrack, as we see in this situation. So I don't even know. I do not even know. Because I think their mindset was the whole Mankind Divided thing, which is the title of the game. But I mean, that is a little bit too much to try to put the two together like that. So I don't know.
It's fucked up. And yeah, y'all just go read my Twitter, because yeah. I know we're rated explicit, but I don't think I can cuss that much in one episode. David, do you have any thoughts?
Well, there was, I already said the thing, but, it's just a terrible decision, and, I feel like, the series has gotten worse since, the new company took over.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, in the first one, you could at least, like, be black.
Mm-hmm.
I think your options were, like, white, black, and Italian. They weren't great, but...
Yeah. Good job, Deus Ex. Good job. I mean, I was done with the game after Letitia the Trash Lady,
mm-hmm.
but this is like, just how could you fuck up like this in this day and age?
Yeah, exactly.
And then go, no, we've heard of Black Lives Matter, but it's totally a coincidence. Oops. It's like, nah, fuck y'all. I got
there's it. Yeah, you cannot say that was like a coincidence at all. That just. There's no way. I don't even believe that either. That we just happen to come up with a slogan, and like it has nothing to do with any sort of current stuff that's going on right now in the world. No way, please.
Yeah, and it's just like, I guess you've been under a rock for what, 4 years at this point? So yeah, I'm just gonna let that go. Oh, and interestingly enough, dude deleted a lot of those tweets, I guess.
Yeah, I know, I was saying that. That's what I was saying. Yeah, he deleted a lot of those tweets.
Screenshots are forever, yep. Y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I've been known to do that. I've done that a lot when people were like, "Oh, I didn't say that." I was like, "Oh, really? Because I got you."
So no,
I live for the Twitter drama sometimes. Oh, as long as I'm not involved in it.
Oh my god. So note to self: don't say shit to you. Because it'd be like, "Oh, I got your receipt right here."
I have the receipts. I have a whole folder in my phone for if people want to. Talk crazy. I've had, oh my god, don't even get me started. I have so many people who've like said, I didn't say that about you, and I was like, oh really? Because this tweet that you indirectly said about me is right here, so let me know what you think about that one.
You're shady as fuck, Brandon.
That's why one of my favorite emotes on Twitch is the come on bro one, because people act crazy. You gotta be like, what is wrong with you? No
Yeah, like, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. And Dan's Game is my favorite one as well. I like that one.
Which one?
Some people act really... Dan's Game?
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
That, oh, you've probably seen it. I probably use it all the time. That's like my two go-to ones when people are acting crazy. I'm just like, okay, something's wrong with you.
You ain't right. And so the other thing is just me being utterly self-indulgent because, you know, your stream I really enjoy. And you are the only person I subscribe to on Twitch, by the way.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Thanks. I appreciate that. Keeping that light bill on.
What?
I'm keeping the light bills on here.
Look.
I had to pay my light bill. Just thought about that. Yeah.
Look, every little bit counts.
I truly appreciate it because, like, I've never, like, I've just... I always say that, like, it's always just been nice that, like, one person would even think about wanting to support my stream like that. So, like, I'm truly appreciate it. Like, if someone, like, I talked to, like, literally in person, like, I said this to my friend the other day who was subscribed to me. I was just like, thank you for doing that because, like, I honestly appreciate it because, like, you know, I'm never going to be one of those people like, well, you just got to do it because I'm partner. Like, nobody has to do nothing. You don't have to pay nothing to me. So, no, I truly appreciate it. So, thank you, Tanya, for being subbed. You're I think welcome. 4 months, right? Oh, my God. Yeah. It's been so long. Jesus.
Yeah, 4 months.
My Lord.
It's been a while 4 months, dude. It's been a while 4 months.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, one thing that comes up, and, you know, I'm a little older, so one thing that bugs me a lot on Twitch is just how people act, you know, the way that folks get in chat, or, you know, they try to get too familiar with folks, or, you know, or if they're partnered, like, they only talk to people who are subscribers or longtime subscribers.
Oh, I hate that, yeah.
And, you know, I've seen people come in a chat, and it's like, you know, this is their first time in someone's stream, and they just go, oh, you only talk to subs, and then they leave, but then they didn't sub, it was their first time in the chat, and they just basically wanted to start some shit.
Oh, yeah, it's just like, you didn't even, like, and that's why I think a lot of the problem is that they see these big streamers, and I don't know if it's a troll thing or not, but it's like, I guess they see these big streamers who have the sub-only mode, which I'll never use. I would only use it if, like, it was, like, 4chan came in and, like, was being crazy and I had to, but, like, I would never use it to be like, all right, so only subs can talk. Like, I feel like that's so messed up.
It is. It's so jacked up. But, you know, I wrote a little thing on Twitch etiquette, which, you know... It for me, it's important because I like to have a chill stream because also I have no chill and y'all are not going to interrupt me when I'm streaming.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you come across any things that I threw in there or just kind of, you know, or just basic tips of like, don't be an asshole on someone's stream or if you are a streamer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have so, yeah, because I agree with like everything that you said in here because there's so much stuff that I deal with. So, and I talked about this in this video as well, that it's just, like, so annoying to me that people do, where I just, like, I don't understand why people do it. Like, I, like, have, like, this viewer who, like, he kind of just started streaming, but he just, like, kind of comes in and just is, like, kind of pretty much self-promoting the entire time he's there, and, like... It's gotten to the point where my mods, like, they want to time him out, but they don't want to because he's been around for so long. But then I, like, make the cues of, like, okay, like, I get it. You're a streamer, but, like, please stop, like, talking. Like, it's, like, it's so awkward. But, yeah, no, I totally agree with a lot of this stuff. But, of course, you're going to get those stupid people who are going to come in and be like, oh, let me try to act stupid and see what happens. But it's always cool when you get that viewer who's just like, I'm new, I'm cool, and I'm with you, you know?
Yeah, because there are some people, both as streamers and as, you know, viewers, where I'm just like, don't come back to my stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I totally agree with the one I get that a lot. Why aren't you playing this game? Or people telling me to play a game. Not like, oh, you should try this game out. It's like, I don't like this game. You should switch it. I get that a lot. And I always snap on that because I was like, well, when you decide that you want to pay my bills and do that, I will switch the game for you. But I'm enjoying this game, so you can go away.
Yeah, I would get that a lot playing like Dragon Age Inquisition after The Witcher 3 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, oh, The Witcher 3 is better. Why aren't you playing it? And I'm like, go search for Witcher 3. Bye.
Yeah, yeah. You get a lot of people who are just like, they feel like the streamer is supposed to be a robot and be like, well, I don't like this, so you need to change because I don't like it. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, for the, like, 50 people who are in here, we're all enjoying this, so you can go somewhere else. That's fine. I'm good with that. You know, I'm not afraid if you leave. I'm good. Like, but that's why I don't ever look at my viewer count anyway because, like, that doesn't even matter to me. I always cover it anyway because it's too distracting. Even now, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So it's just easier for me, yeah.
Okay, before we get too caught up, you know, throwing shade about how people are shitty streamers on occasion, because I will talk, the thing is, I don't talk bad about other streamers, but there are people where it's just like, I'll come in their channel if someone else is hosting them, and then I'm like, ooh, I don't even say nothing, I just go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, no, I don't see why you're hosting this person, but okay, that's your friend, bye.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But we got questions, and we actually got questions from multiple people this time.
Ooh, I'm excited. Questions.
Yes. So, David, do you want to take the first one?
Stubby Stan asks, can you expound on how a Spawn on Me appearance is the gateway to Twitch partnership?
I mean, I don't know if it's, like, the gateway to, like, Twitch partnership, because if that's the case, then everybody's going to be lined up trying to get in there. You guys will be pretty busy with, like, a lot of people. But it definitely was a great experience being on the show, because I felt like I got to talk a little bit more about, like, me personally that I don't really get to on stream, because, like, you know, I run my stream a certain way, and I try to not make it about me so much. I'm just like, my focus on my stream is just to be an entertainer or be funny, you know, and just like whatever funny situation's going on, we're good. That's why I try to keep my personal life out of like pretty much everything. Like the most you'll probably see is like if you go look on Instagram, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, or like if I tweet out like a picture of me being out with my friends, like that's the most I'll do. But like I try not to put too much of my personal life out there, because like there are some crazy people out here who will use like things that you tell them against you, and I don't need that. So I just like, that's why I'm very private about like, you know, stuff that's happening, because I mean, people are crazy. But I was really happy to be on the show, because it just gave me the chance to really talk about myself. And but we'll just say that it was the reason I got partnered, because he did say that if I was on the show, it would happen, and it happened. So that, there you go. Woo.
Okay, Cicero, you gotta send us both $50 now. Like, Cicero's gonna actually ever do that. but our next question is from a fellow streamer, Quintessential, or I don't know why she has the five Quinn. Okay, I'm smart. Tess. Yes, I'm smart, really. I'm getting punchy. Tess asked, how does one introduce his or herself to an indie company and go about streaming / promoting a game for said company?
Oh, and that's such a good question, because I never get to, like no one asks me that, and I have a really great answer for that. Back in the day, before like streaming was big, like companies did not look at streamers as a way of promoting their product. So this is like a great time to deal with this. I use the same tactic I used to do when I was trying to get reviews for video games, which you could still use it now. At like, if you are not partnered, even if you are partnered, this still works. But like indie companies are very friendly. They're very open to a lot of people trying out their game, as long as like their game is getting played on stream, so like people can, so they could show like, hey, this person's playing our game, like here's the feedback they have for it. The first thing I would do is like see if there's an indie game that you like, and you know, go on their website, I go on their Twitter. I find like the game has their own Twitter. I find out the company that it's made by. I go on their Twitter and I see like if they have a website, and usually when you go on the website, you just, there's hopefully, I don't know, some companies don't because they don't have their shit together, but there should be a contact us or a contact button on their website somewhere, like it's either at the top or at the bottom. And you basically like, you know, send them an email, and if you're a streamer, you basically just say, hey, my name is so-and-so, I stream on twitch.tv/blah-blah-blah. I'm really interested in trying out your game, and streaming it, and kind of like giving my thoughts on it. Would it be possible for me to, you know, check out your game? And usually a lot of these indie companies are very, very generous, and like they want people to play their games because like they want to get that exposure out there. So, you know, when you email them, just make sure you're very professional about it. But also make sure your stream is not just some crazy ratchet stream and it looks like a mess and everything's all over the place and you're just like talking about the craziest stuff, because they'll look at it and be like, all right, never mind. Also social media too, because they do look at that, and some people don't realize that happens, that like these companies, and I know, like, working how I work, like, if someone's asking me for, like, a sponsorship or something for XSplit, like, I go look at your stream and I will look at your Twitter. And if you are, like, crazy, like, saying all this crazy stuff, or, like, if it's just not, like, we don't want to be affiliated with that, like, we will deny you. Or I will. Because, like, a brand doesn't want to put their name on someone who's just, like, who will be a negative impact on them. So... but I just say, like, if you're all in all good standings, just send them an email. Don't be afraid to do it. Like, I mean, the most that'll happen is that they'll either say no, or they won't answer, or they'll say yes. So, but most indie people, they will do it. If it's not like a big one, you know, because some of them are out there and they're like, well, if you're not Lyric, don't talk to me. And I'm like, well, you're an indie company. You should be appreciated that someone wants to see your game. Okay.
Very, very true.
From... Fane 1982, friend of the show, Tim. He asks three questions, and the first is, what are some of your favorite types of stream viewers?
My favorite type of viewers are definitely the people who come back. The people who come back and they feel comfortable enough to, like, kind of talk about, you know, their lives if they want. Because, like, I've always been... a streamer that, like, I like getting to know the people who watch my stream. That's why I've always, like, tried to make it apparent that, you know, my stream is not, like, a me thing. Like, I want people to feel comfortable. Like, if you want to talk about, like, yeah, I had a bad day at work, and I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, how's it going? Like, you know, something, like, we can help you out with or anything. Because a lot of people are, like, going through the same issues, and that's why, like, I love having my Discord open as well, because, like, people go in there and they talk about their problems, and, like, you know, people are support systems in there. So I do like the people who come back and feel comfortable enough to talk and stuff, and want to support, you know? Like, if you're there generally to have fun and, like, talk and meet new people, like, it's always a great... That's always my favorite kind of viewer, people who are just, like, open and... willing to have a laugh, because, like, my stream is literally, like, comedy. Like, it's, like, never meant to be taken seriously. So, as long as you are open and have an open mind and all that, that is the person I want in my stream. Because I can be very strict, like, when it comes to viewers. Like, and I have, like, a no-nonsense policy, and, like, people know this. Like, if you come into my stream and you're an idiot and you, like off the bat, like, say something negative about me or somebody in my chat, I don't want you in here. And I say that all the time, like, because I don't have time to sit here and change someone's opinion about me, because I'm not thirsty for viewers. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, well, he's a troll, and, you know, like, just deal with the troll. No, if you're gonna talk shit, you can go. I don't have time for it. Just go. I don't really want to do it. Just ban him and go. So yeah, just I rather just have like open-minded, cool people, which luckily, I found those people, or they found me, so that's good. Yeah.
Cool. Continuing with, you know, what are your preferences? Thane's other question was, do you prefer streaming single player games or multiplayer games, or does it depend on the day?
I have mainly been strictly single player games, like, a lot of my streaming career, but I have been trying to play, like, multiplayer games with, like, you know, my viewers or, like, other streamers. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to do co-op streams, mainly because, you know, sometimes you lose the interaction with chat because you're trying to pay attention to the other person while they're trying to interact with their chat. And also, like, usually sometimes some viewers feel like they're not getting the attention that they usually get if the streamer's, like, streaming with someone else and paying attention to them as well. Not saying, like, it's like a child thing, but, you know, like, sometimes I'm very interactive. I talk to, like, I'll answer every single question. I'll respond to everything. But, like, if I'm playing a game with someone else, I'm, like, trying to focus and make sure they're doing okay, you know, if they need help with anything. So I usually stick with the single player games because it's a lot easier for me, because I don't have to deal with, like, someone dying and then I have to go help them. So it's good.
Be like, I'm gonna catch up on chat. You just did.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I don't like doing that, because I'm like, okay, I read it. Okay, let's go. And which I don't even know where that came from, being, like, able to read and game at the same time. So, but it works.
What is one killer feature you wish could be added to Twitch or XSplit?
Well, now, I'll say now for the XSplit ones, I don't know if this is in, like, the future. So, I, like, if I say something and it happens in the future, I honestly don't know if this is happening. So, it's not like, oh, I'm saying this and it's a secret. Like, I honestly don't know if they're doing this or not. But I know one of the things that I have always wished they would take out, or I know other people have said it too, is that, like, on XSplit, there is a, like, you can see your viewer count, which, like, I hate that. Like, it forces you to have to see it. Especially, like, if you're, like, a beginning streamer, the viewer count gets kind of to you if you feel like you're not doing a good job when people are, like, coming in and coming out. So, this whole time I've been, like, covering it with, like, different, like, Chrome things I have open. Like, when I have my alerts open, I cover that. I hope that they're going to do that soon. I don't know if that's in the pipeline, but, like, I've been saying that to them for years, if they could find a way to, like, switch it off. But I don't know if that's happening. For Twitch, I really honestly wish they would fix the mobile app and, it's so inconsistent, and it's not, like, they'll, like, release one feature on one platform but not release it for all of them. Like, still to this day, like, I have the iPhone, and, like, you know, if people want to, like, resub, like, on, I think on Android, you're able to, like, write in, like, a message when you resub. On iPhone, you can't do that. You have to do it from your computer. Like, if I resub to someone, I have to literally go onto my computer to hit the resub button, because it won't pop up if I do it on my phone. But I think I wish they could fix it. I don't think they need to add anything at this point. They just need to fix that, the mobile app on, like, all platforms, pretty much.
Yeah, the mobile app is sometimes trash.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know what they're doing. I just sit here and I just wait till, like, some tweet comes out from Twitch, like, oh, we did this. I'm like, all right, let's see if this is good or not.
Like, just make your shit work. And see, I have...
Yeah, exactly.
And I've got a UX degree, and that just... It bugs me. The whole design of Twitch. Yeah, like, I really just want to... Not that I have the time to do it. I really want to do a mock-up of a better design.
Yeah.
And be like, you can have this if you pay me.
Yeah, yeah. And they got a lot of money, so it's not like it's possible. It's just that I don't... It's probably not on their priority list, though.
Look, make that shit usable. I mean... We see how people act about Twitter and other places, so...
That's true, yeah.
Sadly, that is the last question, and we're about to wrap up with just, you know, we try to have a palate cleanser at the end, especially when we talk about heavier stuff, of what we're all playing or reading or writing or, you know, what we're doing that is game-related. And since you are our awesome, awesome guest, you get to go first.
Well, I wrote in the thing that I don't read, so I don't read. I don't have time to read. I mean, I read, obviously, like, I read stuff, but it's not like I read books. Like, the last book I probably read was, like, in college, and I don't even think I really read it. So, I just game, so I can talk about what I've been playing lately. And I just snorted. Oh, that was embarrassing. Sorry. Anywho. I have been playing a lot of my PC games now, because I recently just updated my graphics card, because before it was, like, crap, so I could actually, like, play, like, games on it now. So I've been playing a lot of GTA 5 online with friends and stuff. I do this weird roleplay when I play as this female named Lala, and she is a very sassy, sophisticated woman who just doesn't need a man around her. It's always so weird, because my friends are like, what's going on? But anywho. And then I've been playing The Evil Within. I played that a little bit ago, and I didn't like it, but then I just retried it again, and it's good. The DLC is good too. And I'm trying to get back into Dragon Age because of Tanya. Yay. I just downloaded it for PC, so yay. I'm going through and making the character, so I'm working on it. But I realize how, like, intensive, like, the character model is, so
yay, like, stream it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to stream it. I'm going to hopefully, because I hope I don't have any problems with my CPU and streaming it, but I just did this setting in XSplit, so hopefully if I stream for my graphics card, it might not be as crazy as usual. But we'll see what happens. We'll try it out tonight. Yeah.
So if you do that, I can help you, because I have mine.
Yes. Yeah, I'll need some help for sure.
So when we're done recording, I'll help you with that.
Okay, cool.
David, what have you been playing?
Well, I noticed the... like earlier this week that Starbound is no longer an early access game. It's just a game now.
Oh, really?
So I've been playing that, trying to see how it turned out in the end. There are tutorials for things now. And for those that don't know, Starbound is Terraria with spaceships. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I've seen people playing that too.
Which spaceships is really what that format needs. Mm-hmm. You get to go to weird biomes and so on. And I've also been playing Pokemon Go, because whenever I have to run errands, I hatched a Psyduck from an egg while I was picking up a marriage license, so I think it's just part of my life now that it's part of that story.
This sounds terrible, but if people are playing Pokemon Go or, like, do that during the reception, you have to tell us. Like, yeah, Valve, I caught, like, an Onyx. Just keep talking.
Yeah, well, we're doing it out in the middle of, like, nowhere in a very rural place, so there may not be anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
You say that
I think
now,
it's based on population.
Yeah, you say that now, it'll be like a rare Pokemon because everyone's there for the wedding.
Well, that's where all the dittos were.
I have not. I tried to open Pokemon Go when I was out earlier, and it was like, no GPS signal for you. And I was like, well, fuck you too, app. iOS, Pokemon Go, and location services don't always work, so I have a 5-kilometer egg that will probably never hatch.
Thinking about it, though, Pokemon Go is in a weird place because, as it stands, the app I have on my phone has fewer features than the game had when it came out. Because the tracking stuff got buggy whenever they figured out how to make the servers work at all, so they had to disable it.
Yeah, because just for fun, I open the app on my phone, and I'm, like, standing in the middle of the road on the map, so... Apparently, my apartment building no longer exists in Pokemon Go. Yeah, we can have a whole side discussion about Pokemon Go and its failures. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been playing Moon Hunters. I won it in our friend Simply Andrea's stream on Monday. And it's a really cool game, and it's very 8-bit looking, and it reminded me of, like, games I grew up playing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the co-op mode online isn't enabled for PS4 players.
Oh, wow.
Because there is a video now of me and Andrea trying to do co-op and going, well, shit.
I think I saw that. Wait, you tweeted the makers, right? And they were like, oh, it's not open yet?
Right. I follow Tanya Short, who worked on the game. And I was like, so, we're trying to stream this game and do co-op. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's not on for PS4 players. And also, you can't share play it.
Oh, wow.
So thanks, Sony. Thank you so much for that amazing thing you're doing with SharePlay, which doesn't work.
I know.
I've been playing Dragon Age Inquisition, my Hotep Egg Chronicles. And that's Andrea's fault, because she wanted to see a Solas romance.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck Solas. And Civ 5, because I apparently have world domination fantasies, but everyone declared war on me, so nothing worked. My towns were taken by Spain, and I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. Y'all win. Just take my towns, take Hawaii, we're done. So yeah, that's been my week in gaming, and then probably, who knows what I'll play next, because now travel season and convention season is back upon me.
Yeah, it's going real fast, too.
Yeah, 2 weeks, and it's like, where's Tanya? We don't know. Is the show coming back? We don't know, because she's on the road, like, every week. But, you know, let me not be too silly or too facetious, because you've given us a lot of your time tonight, and, you know, I could talk to you for hours, especially about Twitch stuff. But let folks know where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at UGR Gaming, and also on Twitch, twitch.tv/UGR Gaming. I'm also on Facebook, but it's my old website's Facebook, so I don't really promote that too much, but you could like that as well. The Gamer Chat Weekly, you can find us on Twitter, and the link's on there as well. It's Gamer Chat Weekly. So just search that up, and then if you have any questions, you could just send a tweet, and then one of us will answer. If it's about me, then don't say anything bad, I guess.
Oh, don't say bad things about Brandon. I'll come fight you.
But no, thank you guys for letting me be on the show. I appreciate it. Like, this is cool. I didn't think that it was going to be this long, but this is like, it was like a smooth thing. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, wow, like, this is still happening.
I've been on podcasts.
So it's been fun.
I've been on shows like that. I'm just like, it's 4 hours later. What the fuck are we still talking about? So David, where can folks find you when you are not about to run off and get married?
People can find me on Twitter at Red Conversation. My pinned tweet is currently lead you to my Patreon, and it has a PayPal link. And I think that's it.
And I'm...
Tanya, where can...
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask people where people can find you, but...
right here. Well, beside here, you can find me at Cypher of Tear. That is for my Twitch, Twitter, website. If you find another Cypher of Tear, it's probably me and I forgot my password somewhere. So that has happened on Hitbox. There, I have two accounts for some reason. And also under I Need Diverse Games. So if you care about diversity in gaming and want to do better with that stuff, you can also find me there as the community manager and Patreon, because that is how I'm keeping a roof over my head right now.
Yeah.
And with that, we are done. It's been an amazing 2 hours of talking with you, Brandon. I'm so, so happy we got a chance to do this.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah, and then next week, we're going to talk to Nico Deo, you also know her as Apple Cider Mage, about her article that was in Pace Gaming about Anna and Overwatch and the importance of Anna as a character. Mm. And then the week after, we're going to have Jennifer Hepler, who is one of my absolute favorite game writers. So, yeah, by the time you hear this, we will have spoken with them. So thank you very, very much, and we'll see you in a week. Bye.
Reza!